Hey, 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 welcome back, EJ listeners. So excited to have you here for our final episode of 2020. We are super excited to be here on Christmas Eve with you all and put together one last episode for the year. We are focusing today on being competitive in business, in life, in the world, whatever it is. One question I ask on this podcast is it nurture, nature? Are you born with it? Do you have to learn it? But also ways to channel your inner competitiveness to succeed. So we talk about all different aspects of being competitive in business and in life, but I think you'll take something out of it. It's a good one. Also, we have big plans for 2021, so I'm super excited to continue this podcast journey with the lovely Dr. Jason and Dr. Brandon. So you can expect some great episodes coming from us in the new year. So Merry Christmas. Enjoy this episode. As always, feel free to share this podcast, like it, comment, and give us suggestions for topics for the upcoming year.
Welcome back, everybody, to the EJ, the final 2020 EJ podcast.
Merry Christmas Eve. Merry
Christmas. I know it, but then to hear you say it, I'm like, holy crap.
It's the year has come and gone, and what an easy, non-eventful year we've had.
Boring, really.
Damn it, 2020.
It's been a crazy year, for sure. It's been glorious in many ways, and it's been a pain in the ass in many ways. Some people are going out of business. Some people are thriving. It's, I don't know. It's just a random year for sure we've been through. And in business, crazy. But no matter if it was your best year ever or your worst year ever, it's coming to an end. So as Chelsea said, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And we are happy you're with us here to wrap up this year. And we got some big plans for you in 2021. We're going to take this to the next level and help you take your business to the next level, or open your business and take it to the next level, or the business you're working for and take it to the next level. So happy to be here. But today, what are we talking about, guys?
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Let's hear it.
Competitiveness.
I know the sickness well.
I know everything.
I think it's a blessing, but
it could be a blessing.
Yeah, maybe.
Sometimes.
No, but we wanted to introduce it more so with the business spin, but how that drives you, how to use it, how to make it really work for you. And it can be in lots of different ways, but competitiveness.
In your opinion, is being competitive make you more likely to succeed in business or not, or does it matter?
I don't know if it'd be more likely. I think it could be, Chelsea just said, like a disease or sickness. I think it could be that too, if it's used in the wrong way, much like anything. From what I've used it for, I guess, and I'm not perfect. I think I've used it to help me succeed.
Yeah, I think most people who are competitive, like, it's just like there's no failure mindset, you know, like you have to win, whether it's against yourself, against your competitors, against your colleagues. You want to win and also, I don't know, help other people, but there's no losing when you're.
Yeah, I could make the argument both ways right now. And I certainly fall on the more competitive side. I'd love to have someone I'm trying to chase. I'd like to have people I'm trying to beat. It's how I am. It's how I am in everything. We're that way in golf. We're that way. We played rack. I mean, we have all kinds of funny stories about, you know, just us getting together. I'd like to beat my kids in chess. I like to, you know, so Candyland, I wanted to beat my kids in. Yeah. So, but I think at the same time, sometimes people use it and they just get so defeated. So I think it's a benefit if it fires you up, like being an athlete. Right. If you're a quarterback leading a team and it fires you up and it makes you go out and play better, it's great. If it gets you off your game and you start doing stuff that's stupid, it can be detrimental. And I think business is very much the same. So today we'll talk about probably the positive sides of it, because I think it can be. For instance, when I grew our first practice, when Vanessa and I grew our first practice, we had some friends from school that we compared with. And we had some other friends that we spoke to, and they're different groups. One group we consistently killed. They never were close to us. We beat them from day one. We were killing them by. So if that was our measuring stick, we would have never achieved what we have today, because we thought we were fantastic. It's who we surrounded ourselves with. And they were great people, but they weren't doing great things in business at the time. Still aren't. there's another group that we surrounded ourselves with that became good friends. And these guys were killing it. And every time we would set a record and we would call and be like, hey, here's what happened, man, where we did this and that and set this record and this many patients and collected this. And if one of them would be like, oh man, that's not bad, but I collected, double that.
That's not bad.
And I would just like, I would lose my shit, man, because I was like, God, you got to be kidding me. But it showed me like I wasn't done. I had stuff to do. And then I would get back to work mentally and then attack the office with a different demeanor the next day. So, you know, I think for that reason, it fired up and took me to a different level where if I would have been like, forget it, I'm never as good as them, I'm never going to succeed, and then kind of just withered away, it would have been detrimental. So that's what we mean by it can be good, can be bad, based upon how you take
it. So I think you just said something interesting there that I've learned a long time ago too, is you were able to decipher those two groups. And it didn't mean you lost friendships necessarily, but you didn't maybe connect with that first group you talked about as much as you did the latter.
Right.
I learned that real quickly, and it was hard for me because I'm like, gosh, these are some of my friends, but I saw where they were. I'm like, what the hell? They're doing like nothing. So I maybe didn't call them as often. It didn't mean I didn't love them, didn't still like them as friends. I just wasn't there business-wise with them. The other group I was like calling all the time, just like you. So maybe one thing to pass on advice today is to really define who those people are and try to hang out with the other group quite a bit more often. Or if you can't literally hang with them, then just be in touch with them for accountability.
Yeah. I think having like a group that, you know, knowing what friends or people in your circle are going to motivate you and encourage you in certain departments, like when it's business, or ones that you can get together and just have fun with your kids. Like it's okay to have, you know, people within your circle that you hang out with for different reasons, you know, or that fill a different part of your cup up, you know, because not all my friends have kids, but they might be really successful in business. And so they motivate me in that way as well. And it, for me, I don't know why I just thought of this, but something frustrating for me is when somebody like will congratulate you or be like, you're doing great things. And you're like, it's like annoying almost because you're like, no, I'm not where I want to be yet, or I'm not doing what I want to do yet. So it kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of a random thought I just had, but.
No, I completely get that. It brings a bunch of different ideas to my head as well, just saying that. But I want to kind of wrap up the first thing we're talking about is like, it's also a way to compliment somebody by saying, you know what, I like what you're doing. Like, I like how you're kicking my ass. I like, you've built an incredible thing. And, you know, half the time I have or wherever they are. If you don't mind, I want you to know that I'm coming after you. And I mean, that's the ultimate compliment for someone. It's like, we talk about gratitude all the time. This is a different way to do gratitude. You know, hey, Brandon, man, you're kicking my ass in this. You're doing really well. I would appreciate any feedback and advice you have. That being said, just so you know, like, you're my white rabbit. I'm coming after you in 2021. You're who I strive to beat. And until I catch you and pass you, I'm not going to be satisfied. You don't think that fires up him too? Like, I mean, he's also like, oh shit, someone's chasing me now. So it's very beneficial that you can do that. Now, sometimes it's people you don't like, so you maybe don't have that call and you can just secretly get angry and try to pass them. We have those people too. But I think don't shy away from actually reaching out to these people, because if you like what they're doing and they're the reason that you're waking up and you're driven, then don't hesitate to let them know. And you'll get some good tips probably from them as you try to catch them.
We talk about that with our young docs coming in all the time. I tell them, like, pick someone. They go to our first tribe, which are, many of our listeners know, these are meetings we do with our doctors quarterly. But we tell them, at a tribe, listen to all the numbers, just sit back, relax, watch what happens. But then by the end of the weekend, pick your white rabbit, like you said, and go after them. And that's not always the best person, because usually you're probably so far away from them, you haven't even opened your doors.
Right.
But pick someone who's maybe 6 months or a year ahead of you that you could attain and get to quickly. But then the last thing you said is key. Go tell them.
Yep.
Go tell them. You got the balls to step up and say, hey, man, cool, I'm coming for you. And it does exactly what you said. It fires them up and the person that they're going after.
Well, and you also said something important, because everyone, we have our top two or three that are just like, you know, their practices are top 0.1% in the world.
Yeah.
And so, but then new people come in that haven't opened yet and they're like, I'm going to come after so-and-so. And it's like, well, maybe, right? But I mean, realistically, you're probably not going to catch them next quarter. You know, if you do, then great, then I'll eat my words. But you need to pick somebody that is going to really stretch. And then you have several you're going to hit on your way to catching whoever that is up top. So you want to be, and I hate the word realistic, but you want to be somewhat realistic in how you stretch yourself, that, you know, you're not going to pass Grant Cardone in income your first year of business. It's a cool thing, but it's not going to happen. First, you got to pass 10 people along the way. Then you can have a nicer jet than Grant Cardone. Then you can have a nicer, you know, that type stuff. So pick it so it's someone that, you know that's going to stretch you. You know that you are going to be a challenge to beat them. But at the same time, you know that you can do it. Because what you don't want to do is pick somebody the first month, you're not even close to them. Then all of a sudden you wither away and like, forget it. You know, it's not working. So.
Hey, Chelsea just had a random thought. I had another one too, and I want to share it, and you can elaborate, I'm sure, Jay. You were talking about funny stories. You said racquetball. I got to tell a story. So this is what we were probably, we hadn't even known each other maybe a year, not even, huh?
Early on.
It was early. I think my office was open. But Jay and I, we're in Colorado Springs at this time, and we're active. So we took up racquetball in the winter. We're like, we want to do something active, but it's freaking cold in Colorado. It couldn't be out. So we ended up taking racquetball and we're at a local YMCA or something. And neither of us are stellar racquetball players. We just hit the crap out of the ball and run around, and it was a good workout. I'm going to say it. Most of the time I won the score. I mean, it was a great workout. That was the whole point. Most of the time I was winning the score. And I remember, I can't, how many couple games in a row I'd beat you. And then you had finally got to a place where you were taking me, and I called the shot that I thought was out. I still think it's out to this day.
It wasn't. It wasn't even close. It was,
I called shot that was out. I ended up beating him by a point or something in overtime, and he would have beat me if the point was in or something like that. And at the end of the trip, we had rode down to the gym together for whatever reason. On a 25-minute drive home, we didn't say two words to each other on this car ride home because we had won. And I get out of the car. I'm like, see you tomorrow. We slam the door, and out we go. And I've never forgotten that we had this level of respect for each other that we so badly both wanted to win.
Yep.
It wasn't a disrespect at all. It was this level of respect of like, I'm going to beat that fucker next time. And I don't know. I've never forgotten that. And at that moment, because it was so early on and knowing each other, I just knew like, I'm going to fit in well with this guy. He has the same drive, determination, competitiveness for a stupid racquetball game at the Y. So
kind of getting angry just thinking about that story.
and then there was this other time when I went golfing with you guys and listened to you both talk shit to yourselves. So there's another level of competitiveness against yourself, which is
golf is a weird thing because Brandon and I compare ourselves to the top golfers in the world and we're not even good. And so we do a frustrating round 99.9% of the time because we expect to shoot a 72 and neither of us have ever shot a 72.
Yeah. I was just honestly thoroughly impressed with the names that you came up with to call yourself out loud after you guys hit the ball. Like I was like, I
didn't... another podcast of golf. I mean, that's a whole different thing because we go, but it speaks to competitiveness for sure. And so, we expect great things out of ourselves. And I think that's why I love golf so much is like, no matter how good I do, you could always get so much better at
it.
Yeah.
Never,
and so
never an end game.
You're never sat. And that's why you can play the same course, by the way, hundreds and hundreds of times because you can do better every time you play that hole at a different time, or you did better in the past and it frustrates you. So, I think that's the very relevant and sports is such a great analogy for business, but I think there's so many people that just, they don't care. Like they're not comparing themselves. They just want to be happy. And that's great. But if you're trying to grow your business, if you're trying to make more money, if you're trying to see more patients, get more new clients, sell more houses, cut more hair, whatever you're trying to do, you've got to have something you're going after. It's a 4-minute mile analogy, right? I mean, so like if no one ever knew that was going to be done, probably people would still be kicking out a 6-minute mile. But then someone runs a 550, then a 520, then a 5. Someone's like, shit, can I beat 5? Yep, 4. And people go down. You'll reach a point where you just want to beat that last person to show that you're the best. And you've got to find that person to get that drive. I think you'll find it, even if you're not a competitive person, even if you just do it out of mutual respect for people, you're going to find that it takes you to places maybe and makes you realize there's things you can achieve that you didn't know were possible.
I love that. Mention that story a little bit more. Maybe you know the stats on it, the 4-minute mile thing. People, I think, have heard it often, but I can't remember when it was, but Roger Bannister or something was the guy's name back in like the 1900s. He breaks the 4-minute mile mark, like 3:59.2 or something, like just cracks it.
Right.
But then I think it was like the next like month and a half after that, like 6 or 7 other guys like shatter it. Like so no one can do it. No one can actually get there and break it
forever.
One guy does it. And then in a matter of like weeks, it's crushed by several others. But it was literally that step of like, wow, I guess it can be done.
Well, we've seen that exactly happen in all of our, in all of the 100% practices too. Like numbers that we never thought we would see even like a couple years ago. And they just keep, we're just like, now it's like,
we're not even nonstop, right? Mindset. And that's a different show. So it's not necessarily this one, but in fact, we're going to go into poverty mindset, millionaire mindset in 2021, but that's mindset. It's just knowing something's possible. Oh shit, that is doable. I can do that. You know, oh man, I can build a successful restaurant during a pandemic. I didn't know, right? But other people are doing stuff. If you see that, you're like, oh God, that's a good reminder to go get it. And, you know, it's helped us. That's all I can say. And we're achieving some amazing things in this profession. So I hope that you can focus on some people. How do you find those people? If you're just your local, you know, business person, you're a massage therapist, or you run a haircut place, or you're a realtor, or you're a chiropractor, and you don't know a ton of people. How do you find those people? How do you see what's possible?
I think you have to study your competitors around you for sure. We definitely have. Some of those I think are going to let you in their little circle of trust. Others maybe not. So just again, one, just researching your market. For us, obviously there's other chiropractic franchises. There's other chiropractors that are friends that we've studied.
Yep.
And just want to figure out. So I think that's the easiest way, is first studying your market.
Well, nowadays too, I mean, there's an influencer for everything. Like you can go online and follow some Instagram accounts of, I don't know, Massage Betty or something, you know, and like, if you're a massage therapist, this therapist is going to have like the coolest looking room, have great music they play, right, essential oil blends that, you know, there's just like people you can find someone who's a master at everything super easy right now, like just online. Like social media is a huge way to research competitors or people who you want to be like or could be like, you know.
The flip side of that is it can also show you something someone's really not. So you can also drive yourself nuts by seeing what other people do that is what they want to put forward. And so if you do not really know truthfully what this person's doing, it can drive you crazy because they're going to post the best day they ever had, the best month they ever had. You're not going to see, I promise you, there's not a business that's ever opened that doesn't go through struggles all the time. No matter how rich or successful someone is, they've had nights where they are pulling their hair out. They've had nights where they're crying themselves to sleep. So if you also start to think like, oh God, these people don't even go through that, bullshit. They go through that. And of course, they're not going to show that. That people want to put their, you know, their best representation forward when they go on social media. So be very knowledgeable of the fact that you're probably not going to see their true colors just on their page or wherever that is. You got to dive in a little bit, but you may know what's possible. You may say, okay, that's their best day. That's possible. But don't kill yourself when every day is not that way, because there's struggles underneath the surface that they're going through that if you're not aware of or part of the game, it's going to drive you crazy. So you've got to be aware of the realistic side of growing a business. And there's some frustrations to that.
Yeah. I wanted to mention one thing with the competitiveness part of taking some time to enjoy it too. I've set certain goals or certain things, and I'm always, after I hit something or I get, I'm like, okay, God, what do I got to get next? What's the next level? What's the next phase? And sometimes I forgot to be like, celebrate a little bit. Like you always go, I go to that moment of like the Super Bowl and the ticker tape's falling down and the, you know, Brady's and Manning's and you see them on the field and there's this emotion and tears and like that celebration moment. I know those guys are like that too, where they're like, shit, okay, next season starts in 120 days. We got to get back to it. But taking that time to be like, okay, gosh, I did really some cool shit here. And whether that's rewards or trips or popping a bottle of wine, whatever you're doing. But I just want to mention that as something I forgot often to be like, hey, cool. We
deserve that time you cheated in racquetball. Did you celebrate that cheat call when you said that serve was out when it was in? Yeah, way to celebrate.
I'm not even there to break you guys up. So I hope you guys don't meet out back after the
pop. So,
no, yeah.
Good point.
Do you guys think though that, I was just thinking about this, I know like several families where like I'm thinking of like siblings, you know, and do you guys think people are born with the competitiveness, or do you think it's something that they like learn because of their environment, like how they're raised, things they get involved in early on? Because I know siblings that are like so very different. Like some are super competitive, others are great athletes but not competitive when it comes to like other things. Yep. And then
maybe nurture question, huh? Yep. The great debate. I'll jump in with mine. You guys can tell the other way. I see it in my boys, Tristan and Cannon. Cannon's ultra competitive everything, like to a point where I got to calm him down a little bit. He freaks out about missing a catch of a football toss in the backyard. Tristan's just kind of like, I don't know, Dad, I missed it. Yeah, whatever. With my boys, I think it's a little bit, it's nature there where it's just born into Cannon more so than it was Tristan. Can it be taught or trained? Maybe. I think it's more born with it. What do you guess? What's your answer?
I don't know a family more competitive than my family. And so people don't even play games with us anymore. Vanessa and I have borderline had almost divorce discussions over board games. I
have to put you guys on the same team in any
partner games. I know. It's nuts. Like, I mean, we have the shuffleboard table in our house and that gets heated all the time. And so it's, I don't know. I don't think it was my parents aren't competitive at all. I don't see. My sister's not competitive at all. I completely am. All the boys are. Vanessa is. And so, you know, I think that I've learned to keep it in check better than I used to. I mean, there's many broken golf clubs and different things like that back in the day where I've calmed that down. But I mean, I think you can also be an idiot. So, I mean, you need to learn. I mean, when you watch somebody lose their shit, that's not impressive at all. But I think that for me, I would say I was born with it because I don't think I ever developed it. And I think my expectations, I think maybe a little bit of a chip on my shoulder to try to prove people wrong, high expectations of myself and just wanting great things has kind of driven me to be very competitive. But I'm not sure if I was born with that or I, you know, innately was thrown into something that.
Yeah, it has to be a combination, I think, a little bit for that's what I think, at least. I have an older brother and a younger sister, and both my older brother and I always played every sport. Ask Brandon, he knows about all the sports I played. There you go. And we're super competitive in other areas of like board games and just in life in general. And my little sister, she did like dance and stuff, but never played real, like a lot of sports. And, I mean, she's successful and she does well, but I think she competes more against herself than like others really. But I think when you play sports and you do things that are competitive naturally, I think you build up that competitive level and know how to channel it a little bit more.
Well, and I think, I mean, even if you watch a football game, like there's fans that are more crazy and you see these people battling out and one team beats the other team and they're talking smack. Some guys have no problem and they're at the best of their game, right? These are the best in the world. They have no problem going to the 50 yard line and hugging it out and saying great game and leaving, while other guys are so emotional and pissed, they storm off the field and go to the locker room. I'm not even saying one is right or wrong. I mean, there's different people and you can be highly successful and not be overly competitive, and people are all the time, you know? So I think that even those people expect a lot out of them. Even those people measure them from what other people have done. So even the people that are great athletes, I'm not even saying it has to be this emotional component.
No.
It just has to be something innately that you expect great things and you have somebody that shows you what's possible. Pick that person, then go get them. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. So, yeah. All right. So closing thoughts on competitiveness, let's take it to reality. So how do you do this? So you right now you are, you know, you run an office. And you know people are kicking your butt that have been open half as long. Let's go through some steps. Do you call them right away? Do you just say, hey, I'm coming after you? What's this look like?
I mentioned earlier, but it's my one thing I'm going to suggest today is to find that person and then pick your white rabbit, if you will, and possibly get rid of your dead weight also. Like I said, I did this a long time ago of just certain friends I'm not going to be where they're at. I got to pick my white rabbit and go after him. So select your person and get it. Go follow him.
Chelsea, what say you?
I think find what drives you in a positive way. So if you are like what Brynn is talking about, the person that you're chasing, if every time you're around them, you don't perform better after you find out what they're doing, if they're bringing you down, kind of, I don't know, affecting your competitiveness in a negative way, then definitely don't, you know, go that direction, but find someone who can uplift you, but also challenge you and also hold you accountable. I think that's another thing too, is find someone who can hold you accountable for what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. Good points. I'll take it even a different angle. So I would say when you look at somebody or know somebody that's kicking your butt, and as opposed to being like, I'm going to get them, I'm going to come. That's great. I think that's healthy. if somewhere inside your head, you're like, I could never do that. That's just not me. I'm going to chase somebody else that has a lesser number. I think the bigger thing there is why. Why do you have lower expectations for yourself? Why can that person do something that you would never expect of yourself? And if the answer is, you know what, I just don't want that. Like, I want this simple life and this is exactly what I want to do and I built it, then great. That's a great thing. But if the answer is like, I don't think I could do that, man. That's I don't know how they do that. Then you have to ask, why are the expectations I have for myself much less than, say, that person has? And I think that that's a deeper thing we'll dive into in 2021 quite a bit. It's just mindset. Why do you have a poverty mindset? Why do you have a millionaire mindset? Why do you have a mindset to succeed? I think there's a lot of different things. And no matter what business you're in, it all stems from what's between your ears. Money is unlimited out there. And there is no reason you can't succeed at a level that's unbelievable. People do it all the time, right? So we always say, like, I mean, go out and watch what people are doing. This area alone, it's success is everywhere in San Diego. And it's specifically where this office we're coming at you from now is at. I mean, there's Lamborghinis and Bentleys and Range Rovers and Ferraris and stuff that drive by all the time. There's $10 million homes everywhere. I'm not saying they're better or worse than anyone, but how did they do that? What did they do to achieve that? That's what you have to tap into. And if you don't think you're able to do that, then that's a why question. And you're never going to just like pick somebody, chase them if you don't believe that you're going to happen. So don't just do that without actually believing that you can achieve that. That's the bigger thing for you to figure out. Couple minutes left in this final podcast. So I want to know just what's one good thing you're happy to leave behind in 2020 and what's one thing you're chasing in 2021?
Something I'm leaving behind. Wow, you're getting this.
Maybe something you learned in 2020.
I want to go with kind of going off of what you said. Rebecca and I just had this in-depth conversation the other night about it of like, we're looking at different houses right now. I guess I'll just tell you, we're looking at different houses around our neighborhood. And we know real estate in San Diego comes with a nice price tag. And well, certain homes we looked at, certain price ranges, you know, kind of scared us a little bit. Like, wow, that's a lot, but that's certainly what we want. I just stopped for a moment. Rebecca and I went for a glass of wine upstairs on our patio and it overlooks the ocean. We can see all these beautiful homes around us. I said, look at every single one of these houses that are better than ours or a step above ours where we want to go. And it's what you just said, Jay, that mortgage is covered by that person. That person has this, that person. So it was more of a gut check again of why not? Why not us? Why can't we do that? And we will go on to that. So I don't want to, it kind of piggybacked off a little of what you said, but it's been in my head a lot this last couple of weeks of the final year as we get ready to move our family into a new house.
I like it. Chels.
I liked what you were just saying about why or why not. So I think just focusing on that and asking yourself that question, like in all areas. So prioritizing things to be successful, like why are you not, or why are you? What, for me, like organization of my schedule is a huge thing. So I'm trying to get way better about that. And I think that little steps I've taken after we did our, you know, roles and goals meeting at the end of the year here has helped me to be able to do that. So leaving behind disorganization and kind of just organized chaos and making it more organized and intentional.
I like them. I think that my thing I'm happy to leave behind that I kind of realized in 2020 was how I think that it's how responsible you are for your own success. And so I think a lot of people are realizing this more. And I don't think I had a big issue with it before, to be honest, but people are seeing that the government can shut your ass down on a whim. Like we've seen stuff happen in 2020 that we never thought possible. Like restaurateurs are no longer like, how do I be the hottest place in town? They're like, how do I even open my doors to have a shot at succeeding? And I think we can't take anything for granted. I've learned that the government, in whatever side you're looking at, is not there. And right now the hot topic, and we'll look back at this and laugh, is like, everyone's getting $600. Not even everyone. Everyone that makes less than $75,000 a year is getting $600. $600 is a joke, right? So, I mean, if you're really waiting for that $600 check, you need to check yourself and go out and make something happen, because you cannot be dependent upon others to achieve the success that you want. What I'm looking forward to in 2021, I'm going to save for a couple podcasts from now, but it has a lot to do with money mindset. And I've recently been challenged at a level, and I think that I had long had a money mindset that's very, very positive. much like Brandon, you start to see stuff that challenges that no matter what level you're at. No matter what level you're at, you're going to see something that's like, oh shit, I didn't know that was possible. I've had a, oh shit, I didn't know that was possible moment recently that I'm going to share with everybody. And I think that's going to be a cool podcast. So I'm excited to talk about that money mindset. But as we wrap up and we head off to our families and celebrate Christmas, and I want to thank all of our listeners. Wish you Merry Christmas. Wish you Happy New Year, Chelsea and Brandon. Thankful for both you guys in my life, and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you. So we will see you.
Merry Christmas.
We're coming back with a bunch of these in 2021, guys. So appreciate it. Enjoy your time with your family and live it up. Celebrate. Do what you need to do and get ready to crush it in 2021.
EJ out.
Let's go.
Bye.